an Unspoiled Network podcast.
This is Unspoiled, covering Orphan Black, Season 4, Episode 2, Transgressive Border Crossing. In this episode, we jump back and forth in time between Beth and Sarah, and a little bit of Helena and Allison. But mostly what I'm concerned about here is Felix. Welcome to Unspoiled.
I think I'm a clone now. There's always two of me just a hanging around. I think I'm a clone now. Cause every chromosome is a heavy down.
We get to see Felix's butt. That's the one good thing.
Listeners, I apologize for my shameless objectification that is happening on my watch on this show.
Got a nice butt.
What? He does have a pretty cute butt. It's
he
true.
Does it, and he would be, I think, the actor would appreciate that I appreciate his butt.
That's probably true also. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we looked into it and it turned out not having pants on with the aprons was completely his idea.
His idea?
Yeah.
I've read interviews with him. He seems like an interesting dude.
Yeah, I would be very down to see him get interviewed, but I don't want to hear him talk without his accent. Like,
I
don't want that spell broken.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Natasha.
I'm Maggie. I'm the one who's talking about butts. Just as a rule, in general.
That's true. We could start every show like that.
Maggie
talks
about butts.
That'll be what I put under your like little bio on the website once I do that. She's going to be the one
likes,
who's talking about
butts.
Likes, colon, butts. Pun intended. Get it?
Colon.
Get
I don't it. Like that. Part of butts That's so fair. Much. I'm basically Tina Belcher in a 37-year-old's body, so...
I need to watch that show.
You do need to watch that show. It's very good. You can skip the first season, but other than that, it's very good.
Okay. This episode was full of surprises, because, to be honest, I didn't think we'd go back to Beth until, like, mid-season.
Mm-hmm.
I thought what we'd do probably was, like, work on what we'd been given from the first episode until we, like, hit a wall. And then we'd go back again and get another, like, little bitty bit of information, you know? But it turns out that we're going to be in and out with her a little bit. I think, if this is anything to go by. And I'm really liking this season so far.
Mm-hmm. I was worried. I didn't know whether you'd be down for the, you know, the body horror stuff that starts happening. I was like, especially with your reaction to, what is that thing?
Oh
in the
God.
Last episode of the last season. And I was like, ooh, if Natasha doesn't like seeing that thing, she's not going to like that there are a bunch of those things.
Yeah.
We get to see a few of those things. And that thing then explodes and does crazy vines all over somebody's face.
Yeah, it's, like, the fact that we were introduced to this whole concept in the first season makes going back to it feel, like, really logical. If they tried to pull this kind of crazy shit and hadn't established any of it, then forget about it. I'd be really irritated right
now. Be like, this is not the show I signed up for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
this is kind of the show you signed up for. It's just the show that you forgot you were watching for a little while because they changed some of the parameters.
Yeah, and like in other ways also it's the show I signed up for where we're back with the characters that I care about.
Yeah.
Everybody that was feeling kind of superfluous has been culled to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of why I'm really liking the season so far also is that we've really just zeroed back in on the people that matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, the episode starts off with Sarah rushing to get everybody dressed and out of the house. And it's real frustrating to watch Siobhan and her mom just not trust the information
seriously.
That she's getting. Like, at this point, guys, I get not wanting to move again. But, like, what is the harm
in getting out
just
and getting
leaving?
In the truck?
Yeah. I mean, I understand it's inconvenient. But, like, holy shit, y'all have had to do this enough that... I don't know. So, they manage to, only because, like, finally the actual headlights come up over the horizon and they realize their mistake. But I'm like, you know, you shouldn't have all had to wait for that to be right in front of your goddamn face before you did something.
Yeah, that took them way too long.
Yeah, it
did. And I expect better of Siobhan.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, she's so careful. Like, later on, she pulls a gun on somebody as she's getting out of a truck before she even sees his face.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I expected to see a friendly face. And I'm like, how did you even see his face before you started that sentence?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I get it that the show just needs to whatever. But here and there, I'm just like, that might have been handled a little bit better. So, yeah, they burn the whole motherfucker down behind them.
Yeah, poor Cal.
Right?
He's going to come back to no house.
Oh, Cal.
Did they get any of his stuff out? I mean, didn't he have, like, stuff in drawers or, you know, things he cared about? Did he have those all in a storage locker somewhere just because he figured this would inevitably happen?
Yeah, that's
Sarah's
true.
Sarah's going to burn my house down. I shouldn't take any of my, like, family photos with me to Iceland. They're gonna get set on fire. So.
And we don't know what's, like, going on with him by the end of this, do we?
No, they just say, like, Cal's still out of the country, I think, is the only thing that they say. Because Kira's like, what about Daddy? And Sarah looks up and says, he's still out of the country.
Yeah.
Doing what? I don't know.
Yeah, I want to see him again, because he's cute.
He's so cute. He's so much cuter here than he is as Dario, because he's not, you know, a warlord.
And I don't even have anything against the whole warlord thing, but, like, he just doesn't have that vibe to him. It doesn't suit him.
No.
But, so we go to credits as they burn the place down, then we come back and we have Allison, who is doing, like, a kind of hip-hop dance class thing?
Yeah.
That looks one of those super fun.
Yeah.
And I want to do it.
And I figure that's one of those ones that you can get, like, a subscription to and get, like, all sorts of different classes or whatever.
Probably,
that you get advertised to you. I bet you she has, like, a whole bunch of different ones that she can do multiple times a week.
This is the kind of thing where I really want to be the person that could just do this in my living room, but I can't do it when I'm by myself. I don't feel the push, you know? I have to be in a class where it will bring shame upon my house if I stop. And also, like, being somewhere with real flooring. Because when you're in an older house with wood floors and, like, one of those, like...
Oh, sure.
What do they call it? Pier and beam? What is that? Is that what it's called?
What?
There's Texas houses that have just, like, the little crawl space underneath for, like, electricians to get into. It can feel like I'm about to just fall right through the floor if I'm jumping too hard. The whole house shakes. So
I just don't like jumping in general, so that would sort of count out the whole exercise for me. I like just lifting things, heavy things.
Yeah.
Just do that.
I'm like, I used to hate jumping, and then after getting into doing the Zumba thing constantly, now jumping is like, I'm pretty down with it. I'm not as good as I want to be. I still, like, the teacher will do, like, jump three times, and I'm like, I'll jump 1.5 times. Thank you. But it's better than what I used to do, which was pretend to jump, but my feet never really left the floor.
Right.
So
Allison's feet leave the floor. Allison,
yeah, she's
is
in, this.
In it.
So then we go to Cosima, and she's laying down in what looks like a pot farm.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's like she just has, like, a little grow area, I think.
Yeah. So I guess to go to get some really high quality oxygen and artificial sunlight, probably, without having to leave the house.
Yep.
So this is where Siobhan and company get dropped off, is Rabbit Hole Comics, which is the cover for the basement lab, secret lab, and, you know, apartment area that Cosima and Scott are holed up in.
Right.
And can I just say, Scott is such a champ.
Like, I love Scott so much.
I can't believe how deep he is in this thing and has basically had to, like, give up his entire life.
Yeah.
And
they threatened his cat, man. He's in it.
Where is his cat? I didn't see his cat down here. They better not have given up his cat.
I don't know if he's actually living there or if he's still in his apartment, but you'd think he would have to be totally in hiding too. I don't know.
Right.
Or else somebody would come to threaten him. I don't know. Maybe somebody else is keeping the cat safe because he wants to make sure that the cat is safe.
So. Bless him.
You know, had to give up his cat to one of his gaming friends.
Oh, and this is when Cosima starts laughing about the sheep mask. She says that it's Dolly the sheep, like the cloning thing, which didn't even occur to me.
Right.
The mask that she gave Beth to wear was like a fox or a wolf or something.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a wolf in sheep's clothing, that'd be pretty funny.
That would be funny. I'd have to go back and look at it again.
But that, yeah, I like that little joke because that was not something that even entered my head. So, and it turns out that, like, the, place has been outfitted mostly via the Hendrixes and their, you know, amazing, drug empire that
their
they now
windfall.
Apparently have going. But, yeah, the whole, like, they have a new kind of base of operations and I just, like, want them to have this, but also I'm just bracing myself for when inevitably they're driven out of here. It's gonna have to happen, I guess.
Well, Felix is still in the same apartment. I gotta say, that's kind of shocking to me.
That is something that Owen brought up a lot. Was just how and like the fact that Allison is also where she is.
Yeah,
and I guess she just hasn't been involved in the other stuff. She's behaved more.
But she hasn't. She just hasn't behaved with these in a different realm. Like,
that's true.
She's been horribly misbehaving, but just with drug dealers and stuff in, you know, Kingston, Ontario. So it's very different from what's going on with these, you know, the shady corporate shenanigans. She's been very cooperative with all of that.
Right.
Except for the part where her husband, you know, killed the founder of Neolution. But, you know.
Whatever. Accidents happen.
That wasn't. They're manslaughterers. I like that line. Donnie did not look convinced.
Oh God, he was just like, okay,
all right, sure, okay, honey.
So, yeah, he's. We have a little moment of him just like talking to her before he takes Helena to the doctor. I'm just gonna cover that whole thing real quick because. They go
yeah, we might as well
to the
that,
doctor,
yeah.
And she, like, keeps forgetting to say that he's her husband, and it's very awkward, and the whole thing is real weird. The doctor asks her how she's feeling, and she says, very sleepy, I think, and many farts. And I love her face. Like, you can tell the actress probably had to deliver that line, like, 12 times, because she looks like she barely held it together after saying that line that time. but it turns out she's pregnant with twins.
Yep.
Which twins are genetic, right? So I guess it makes sense since she and Sarah were twins. That she would also be more prone to having twins. And also artificial insemination, I guess. But I'm not sure how that, because, you know, you hear about that resulting in triplets and quadruplets and whatever, but I don't know if that's fraternal or if they're identical usually or what.
That's fraternal stuff. So the if they're identical, that shouldn't really have anything to do with the artificial insemination, I don't think. That's more of a genetic heritability sort of thing or just a spontaneous weird thing that happens. So yeah, it's actually it's true. You know, it's been a long time since I thought about this, but I had a friend who had identical twins, and they had they mentioned they have the same placenta, these twins.
Right.
And that's actually really dangerous. If you have.
Really?
Well, I mean, not like super duper dangerous, but it's one of those things that can cause you to have the babies sooner than you otherwise would, because basically one of the babies can be stealing all the nutrients from the other baby. So, yeah, so if they're in the same amniotic sac and they have the same placenta, one of them can be, like, the fat baby and the other one is the skinny baby, which is what happened to my friend and her babies. And they were like, okay, we're at 34 weeks, we're done. They're done cooking, because otherwise this one's just going to be like, nom, 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 nom.
Oh, my God. And then you'll wind up with, I've got two cell lines, me. I ate my other in the womb.
Exactly, exactly. It's about that, yeah. So anyway, hopefully neither of these babies will eat each other in the womb.
Indeed. And Donnie, when he has to bring the news back to Allison, she's trying really hard to be happy for her sister, but you can tell this has fucked her up a little bit.
Yeah, he's a little bit oblivious at the beginning. Mm-hmm. He's a little too like, hey, I'm so happy for her. Isn't this badass? And Allison's like, mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Great. You know, just because she's eating us out of house and home, but that's fine. Whatever. Right. And Donnie's like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And tries to regroup and and help her out a little bit, but she's just, nope, it's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah, that's one of those moments where it's like you haven't started processing your own feelings yet. So when somebody asks you about it, you're just like, I'm not prepared to have this conversation right now. Please don't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I feel bad for all of them. I mean, I remember what Rachel's reaction was when she was told just so offhandedly, like, well, no, you're all sterile by design. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that was one of the few moments where Rachel was really like, oh, I'm a science experiment.
Right.
Because most of the time she sort of thinks of herself as being so above all of it.
Yeah.
But she's like, nope, I really am. I'm just someone's science experiment. And they did something to me to make me not in control of my own life and of my ability to create other lives. So that's neat.
Right.
So it's funny because we spend so much time with Sarah, and we don't have to deal with that part of the story with Sarah. And Cosima doesn't seem to have much problem with it one way or the other. Doesn't really seem to care. She's just trying to stay alive herself. Whereas Allison, we haven't had to see her deal with the mortality aspects of it that Cosima has to deal with. But she's had to deal with the fertility aspects of it.
Right.
And that's really hard. Because it seems like they must have tried for a while before they kind of realized it wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, that's something that, like, oh, it just sounds so freaking exhausting. Mm-hmm. I swear to God. Just going through that whole thing. And I had a friend recently who, him and his wife, I think actually we're both friends with him on Facebook, and him and his wife have been trying to have a kid and went through and did, like, IVF a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally got pregnant, and they were so excited, but they didn't tell anybody because they were just afraid that it wasn't going to work out. And then she had a cyst on her ovary, and they decided to go ahead with surgery because they were afraid that it could affect the pregnancy if it went on too long.
Mm.
And the cyst was infected, but they didn't know it, and it burst during the operation, and it killed the baby.
Mm.
And that happened just, like, a week ago. And it really, like, I just forget, because I don't want kids at all, how much some people want them.
Yeah, right.
And how much they go through in order to have kids, and how, like, completely draining emotionally it seems to, like, go through that kind of thing over and over. And the amount of money for IVF and everything, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, yeah, it's something that I have trouble really relating to on, like, an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
But when I just try and sit through and think it through just, like, intellectually, I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And I think that scene where she is, like, being told that, it cuts to her, like, trashing one of the labs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It
seems appropriate.
It does, definitely.
It seems like a fair response to that.
So that's what's going on with them pretty much here.
Yeah.
And Sarah actually meets up with Art. Now, see, and I do know that this show needs Sarah to be back with her people. And I get that. But the fact that she can go out and meet Art at a coffee shop after all this is just so unbelievable to me that they don't have, like, several tails on him. Do they not realize that he's involved in this? Have they not seen him leaving Fee's place a million times and whatever?
Yeah.
There's just a lot of inconsistencies on this show with how much surveillance there actually is on everybody.
It really seems like they have not paid any attention to art. Much attention to art.
And
honestly.
Fee, too, a lot of times.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, he's the foster brother, whatever. Mm-hmm. And kind of... The two of them are able to operate a lot more independently.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have them around. It just doesn't logically make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, if we're going to have other people that are... never say, I mean, you know, we have somebody, as you said, threaten poor Scott's cat mm-hmm. for crying out loud.
Art has a kid.
There you go.
You know, he should be, she should be, you know, he should be terrified to be involved in this. Like, I don't know, whatever. I understand why he is involved in it, but it's just very convenient that they've left him alone to the extent that they have.
So... he's giving Sarah the file on the dude that they found in the woods. And it's pretty gruesome, like that picture of his cheek that's cut out so surgically. Right. And she also sees the dick pic, lol.
Mm-hmm.
And was clearly not ready for that. Hey, you could have warned her a little bit on that one.
Right.
But yeah, she like almost hits the ceiling when she sees that. And this is when, you know, the Neolution thing really starts to like click. Like they aren't, I don't think, aware of the extent of it, because the first thing that they heard about it, like they don't know what happened to Delphine. Mm-hmm. The first thing that they heard about it was from, her like giving them that little bit of information for what's his face? Ferdinand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's really all they know yet, is that his guy was part of Neolution and that this was a setup.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know that they hit Delphine, mm-hmm. and that there are more of them out there that are involved in, like, a whole other thing. The whole... what is it that fucking MK calls it? The maggot bot?
Yeah.
Ugh. Don't. Why you gotta put maggot in anything? Never use that fucking word. I hate that word. Mm. Ah! So, yeah, they decide that they're gonna go back to Beth's apartment and look through her stuff, which has apparently been just like left.
Sitting there, yeah.
Again. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like...
the fact that that hasn't been ransacked at the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, everything in the apartment is packed up and the walls are, like, taken... all the paintings are taken down except for two of them. Like, mm-hmm. There's a couple other ones that you see piled in a certain spot. One of them, of course, is the one that the camera's
behind.
It's
hiding the camera. Mm-hmm.
But, okay, fine. And this is how they find out about the girl from the club,
right.
Trina. So I do like the surveillance footage tying us back into the flashbacks. Like, I think that's really effective. Mm-hmm. I just wish that it wasn't handled in this way that makes everybody that they're supposedly so afraid of seem clumsy as fuck.
Right.
To have missed this.
Yeah.
They find it in like 3 minutes, you know?
Yeah. If they're going to do that, you know, make it so that they had to actually look for it, leave it, you know, what's the harm in having left the stuff in her place where it was, you know, mm-hmm. Paul had been smart enough to empty out the refrigerator so the place doesn't stink, but otherwise, right. You know, it's fine. Because then it could be like, it was actually something that took some effort to find, as opposed to like, well, let's just take this. Oh,
surprise.
Yeah. Maybe behind this one thing that's still here. Yeah. Which reminds me of the time we were moving and my husband couldn't find the cat in the one thing that was left in our entire house. We had everything moved out. Like, everything had been removed except for one garbage can, and the cat was hiding behind that garbage can. Aww. But he did not think to move that garbage garbage can. So he called me and was flipping out. It was the morning. We're, you know, going to the signing. He's like, I can't find Simmy. I think she must have gotten out. I left the door open. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, you go do the paperwork and empty out your office. I'll have my friends come over and find it. My friends came over and found her in 2 seconds. Like, it's the garbage can was right next to the back door. So Jess walked in, pulled out the garbage can. There was a cat. Because there was literally nothing else left in the entire house that she could be hiding behind. Oh, so yes. It's like that. Where could the surveillance footage be? Behind this one thing that's still here hanging on the wall. Maybe we could move that and find something. Oh, look. How surprising.
So when they see this girl... Sarah knows from her contact lens that she's Nealucian and decides that she's going to go over to that club and find out who she is. And she wants to go with Felix. Mm-hmm. Felix has been painting and seeing his phone going off and not answering it. And Allison finally goes straight over there and basically wants to know what the fuck his problem is. Mm-hmm. And he's very cagey with her. It basically is just like, well, I was in the zone and they can come to me. And being really strange about the whole thing. And then when Sarah shows up at his apartment and he's off in the shower, he's normally so jokey and relaxed. And he tries to get that back. But it's this actor really pulls off the I'm trying to be my old self, but I'm not.
Not, thing. Yeah.
Like, this was super believable. Yeah. That just, there's something off. There's a tone to the way that he's ending his sentences, or just the way that he's answering her, or his body language, that if you didn't know him really well, you wouldn't realize how wrong something is. Mm-hmm. And I just, I was really impressed with his performance on this.
Yeah, I agree.
But it turns out that he's looking for his birth family. And Sarah really doesn't get it.
No.
The way that she, you would think she would as somebody who realizes, like, that what the effect was on her when she finally met her birth mother, even right. though it wasn't her biological mother. Like, she just doesn't seem to really comprehend it, and it feels weird to me. Is that just me?
No, she's being obtuse.
Yeah.
Because she's being selfish. She has always been able to be like, hey, Felix, I need you. And right now he's like, well, but you've gotten everything you want. So,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's really, like, uncomfortable, because you get why she needs him. Like, I understand how she's relying on him, and it's literally a life and death situation, so I get right. that. But, like, you know, her begrudging him asking for money to get into the club, like, little things like that where I am just like, yeah, Sarah, holy shit. I mean, fucking, it's like $8, give him the money. Or, you know, him going and getting a drink first and her just being immediately annoyed that he hasn't been helping. It does feel like she's taking him for granted. And when he points out, hey, you are related to our foster mother. Like, we used to be together in that we were not part of a family by blood. And now it turns out you are. And I'm the one who's not. And I, like, when once he said that, it didn't even occur to me how much you would feel left out. Like, that would totally fuck me up.
Yeah.
And it's not like Siobhan knew. It's not like, you know, she was keeping it from him and, like, secretly. But it's still just this link that can't be denied that he doesn't have.
Yeah.
And, I thought it was really interesting that the writers decided to, like, focus on this. And I think it's really smart. It's just not something that, like, ever occurred to me. And I like that they took the time to, like, think about what this would mean for him as a character. Mm-hmm. It feels really thoughtful, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So basically, he kind of, like, once they have looked around a bit and are striking out, he's basically like, I'm going to go dance. Bye-bye. And just kind of leaves her to her own devices.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have sort of a flashback with Beth and, what is it, Detective Duco.
Oh, Duco. Yeah, the casting on this guy, they found, like, the weaseliest, mm-hmm. like, little just... Ugh, he gets under my skin, and he's clearly supposed to, so kudos on right. that. Because he doesn't even bother pretending that he's there for anything other than what he's there for. Not for a second. He's yeah. like, so, you know how you saw me at the thing the other day? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that, and how you're going to just have to do what I say, because otherwise they're going to have you killed.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, like, he's the perfect mix of, like, somebody, he's, like, sleazy and science-y.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he really does feel like the kind of guy who would be selling you kidneys out of the back of a van. and it's really, like, unnerving that he's in her house. Like, yeah. that they have to, that they aren't pretending that this is anything else, but they still are.
Yeah.
It's just on that knife's edge. This scene just was really tense and uncomfortable. I thought it was done really mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
But, so let's see. Oh, and Sarah, doesn't she, yeah, she finds like a stash of Beth's drugs hidden under the sink, right?
Yeah.
She keeps finding stuff because this bitch had a lot.
A lot to hide.
Yeah, she did. So... Sarah is at the bar after Felix basically abandons her. Mm-hmm. And this dude just comes up to her and is like, so why didn't you wait? God, you couldn't wait just another hour to see it? And she's like, what? And it's really, really like caught me off guard because MK being out at Neolution seems I guess he says that, doesn't he? He's just like, I just would never expect to see you here. But she has her hood up, so he can't see that her hair isn't right and everything. Right. But this guy is like, I looked for the thing that you asked for. And shows Sarah this fucking video.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Bogota, which is where my father was born. What's up? And this, it's like a camera inside the guy's mouth so you can see the little maggot thing wiggling around when they poke it. And then they try and extract it from the outside and it just shoots these tendrils out. And the camera, like the guy just like backs off and you lose picture completely. And the dude is like, yeah, it has a built-in protection mechanism. It kills the host. Which I'm like, is that a protection mechanism? Like, won't it die? I guess if it manages to, like, implant in somebody else right before it kills, like, I don't know how it spreads. If it spreads, I assume it spreads because I feel like that's gotta be the purpose, right? Like, spores. But it's the grossest effect. It looks like speeded up slime mold footage.
Mm-hmm. It's not pleasant.
It's gotta come out of the face. Come on. Christ. Why does it have to be up in the cheek area?
Yeah. Ugh,
dislike.
Ass swipe left.
Right. And Sarah is not having the reaction that he expected, and he starts to get suspicious. Realizes that she's not who she said, and she swipes his phone off him. And I expected a chase. She goes out into the alley and just stops and texts Fee, and that guy doesn't follow her at all.
No.
It was very anticlimactic after all that. Like, she stole his phone. You'd think he'd notice that in a second, you know?
Apparently not.
I'm just saying there's some holes in this episode, guys. That's all I'm saying. I'm still really liking the season, But there were a couple moments where I expected a thing, and apparently the character was not thinking the same way as me at all.
Right.
But yeah, she basically just, like, texts Fee and lets him know, or leaves a voicemail or whatever, and leaves him there. And I was like, well, alright, guys. I guess we're...
I don't know. I feel like that's... Yeah. That seems exactly how I would expect her to respond to that.
Yeah.
She's about that petty.
Yeah. That's true. Oh, also, like, they have this, you know, slow pan. They love to do, like, Neolution club shots and show all of the people and their body mods and whatever. And they have a shot of somebody getting a brand.
Mm-hmm.
But the brand is, like, smoking in a way that they don't usually. Like, it almost looks like they use, like, a dry ice brand, like a reverse brand or something. You know what I mean? And then that dude that, like, Sarah's like, do you recognize her? And he's like, her name is on the tips of my tongue. And then he has to, like, wiggle his creepy split tongue at her.
Thanks, dude.
Ugh. I really liked that because, like, I'm sure, you know, they just put out an ad for, like, somebody with a split tongue. Come here. Yeah. But it felt like they specifically picked a dude who has nothing interesting about him except for the split tongue. Like, a guy who just doesn't know how to make conversation in any way, and that is just the thing every time. His
fallback is always, look at my weird tongue.
Ooh, isn't it creepy? Are you freaked out? Like, I went to this Halloween party, and it was really fun, but this dude came up to me and my friend, and she and I were, like, in the middle of an actual conversation, so it was even more awkward that he, like, kind of tried to insert himself, pun intended, and he just stood there kind of, like, not saying anything for a minute, and he was dressed like Doctor Who with the trench coat and the really long scarf.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what it was at the time, and neither did she, because she and I both did not watch Doctor Who, but he pulled out a sonic screwdriver replica.
Uh-huh.
And just, like, pressed a button so that it whirred and did something. And then just, like, smiled dopily at us. Didn't say anything. He didn't start off with, like, a conversation starter or, like, a line. He just kind of stood there waiting for us to, like, stop talking and look at him. And then just pressed the button on his sonic screwdriver and then just looked at us for a reaction. This is that guy, but with a tongue.
Yeah, but with a tongue.
Yeah. Guys, you know, don't be fucking weirdos. Use your words. You know, even if you say something stupid and bad, at least it doesn't feel like a crutch. Like, don't have a prop, for Christ's sake. Anyway, my disdain is practically coming out of my pores. So, let's cut back to Cosima.
Okay.
I feel so bad because she doesn't know what happened to Delphine.
Yeah.
I really thought they'd find her body. This concerns me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm assuming Delphine's dead. She's probably dead. But, like, she's kind of
in the
wind. Yeah. If they didn't leave a body, like, they're not shy about leaving bodies.
Right.
So if they didn't, that feels like it means something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care for that line of thinking at all. At all. Like, I don't even want to go into it. But, yeah, I feel really bad for Cosima because, you know, the two of them definitely really meant something to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish that when Delphine was saying goodbye, that Cosima had, like, pushed her a little bit more on it, because it was so clear that she had something on her mind and was, like, really saying goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And Cosima says in this scene that she felt that way at the time, but just didn't really, like, you know, push it. So, what is Siobhan's mother's name?
Kendall.
Kendall. She has leukemia.
Yeah, Scott's reaction face is good.
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty intense. The fact that Scott's now the only person who knows this information, he's clearly kind of like, oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, she doesn't want Siobhan to know. She doesn't want anybody to know because she says all you get when everyone knows you're dying is a pity party. And then says patient privilege and makes him shake her hand and promise that he's not going to say anything.
Yeah.
And goes back to sucking on her butt. That's what my mom would always call it whenever my grandmother was smoking. She's sucking a butt in the back. Mm-hmm. Come on, Ma. Jesus Christ. But I wonder if that's like what that means for anybody. You know, I'm really like not sure if her having leukemia has consequences in another way.
Right.
Is it possible that if they did get a hold of her DNA, that it could like fuck things up for them if they weren't aware of that?
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. Curious about it. I have a lot of questions.
It is that kind of show.
Yeah, that's true. So, all right, then we go to Beth again, and she is getting into disguise shakily. She's having a hard time, like, just putting lip color on.
Yeah,
and, go ahead.
I was just going to say, she's in bad shape.
Yeah, she is. She puts this blonde wig on that I'm like, girl, you're not fooling anybody.
No.
But, you know, I guess people do just wear wigs. So, mm-hmm. I really feel like I need to, like, take that up.
Just wear a wig?
Wearing wigs just as, like, a daily thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a girl that works with my friend at this tattoo shop, and she has a collection of wigs and changes them up all the time.
That sounds so much fun.
Right, doesn't it? And I'm like, you know, on the one hand, I'm like, God, that does seem like a pain in the ass. On the other hand, I'm like, is it more of a pain in the ass than dealing with my fucking bullshit hair?
Your actual hair, yeah. But your hair's so pretty.
Oh my God, Maggie.
I know. Everybody wants the hair they don't have. It's fine. It is what it is. But your hair is so pretty.
I manage to get some good pictures of it sometimes. I have Facebook fooled, is what's happening. But for the like majority of the time, my hair is the before picture. It's the one that they go, oh, honey, what are you doing? And then they look at her now.
Oh, my God.
And that's the Facebook picture that I post. Anyway, I'm a fan of wigs is what I'm saying. But yeah, so this is like she's on camera putting her gun in her purse, in her wig and everything, because Art has basically just been watching the surveillance footage speed it up all damn day long and fast forwarding through a bunch of it. And he's watching her walk out the door in her wig going, Beth, what the hell are you doing? Mm-hmm. And we have no idea as viewers what the hell she's doing.
No, nope.
Like, I got nothing. It doesn't, because I was thinking at first, the wig is platinum. I thought she might be doing any Aleutian thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the clothing she's wearing looks like corporate.
Corporate, yeah.
It does not look like club wear.
She's not clubbing. So if that's what she thinks she should wear to go clubbing, she's really bad at.
Oh my God. Would that be the cutest thing if she like totally misjudged what to wear?
Yeah, I'm calling
and they were
the
like,
club.
Lady, what are you doing? But yeah, she walks out the door and the only thing that we find out is like we see her coming back when Art gets to that point and then her scene, which we'll get to with MK. But I've been trying to think what could have happened, and I've got nothing. I don't know, because whatever happened makes her completely lose hope.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anything that dramatic. That all I can imagine is that she like stumbled on some information that Neolution's way further ahead than any of them knew, and that it's so far and so deep that there's no way they can undo it. And I don't even know what that looks like.
Yeah.
You know, I've got, I don't have the imagination for this. I don't have the capacity, guys. And frankly, if that fucking mold spore thing is any indicator, I don't really want to. I don't want to live in that future. Maybe you don't need to
know. Yeah.
I'm good right here. Thank you. Thanks. So Sarah used that guy's phone to see that he was going to meet up with MK at the laundromat, right? That's what happened? Okay.
Yeah.
And she calls her on that phone and says, "Where's Dizzy?" And Sarah says, "He sent me." And she's like, "Yeah, no, he didn't." Which I really enjoy because Sarah is not aware that the person she's talking to right now is a clone. Or the woman that she talked to earlier, right?
Like, she said she's one of us. So I think she, maybe Art said something after she left.
But she doesn't know that the person on the phone here is in the laundromat, MK. Yeah, is the same person as who warned her, right?
No, I don't know when she realizes that.
Yeah, because I feel like she does by the end, but I can't remember. Yeah, I don't know when she figures that out. I don't know, maybe she just puts it together. But yeah, whatever it is, it's kind of cute because, like, MK makes her put her phone in the dryer, which she says will cut off the signal, which I'm really curious about. Like, is that true?
I don't know.
Why?
I'll go with it. I have no reason not to believe it, so sure.
I'm curious, like, listeners, if y'all know, because she shows her the phone, like, holds it up, tosses it into the dryer, and then she just shuts the door. I thought she would have to start the dryer, and I was like, your phone's gonna be busted, girl. She doesn't. It's apparently just the act of putting it in there. It's maybe, like, it's surrounded in metal?
Yeah, I guess.
The door's glass. Whatever. Okay. So, and she makes her take off her boots so that she can't, like, go sprinting after her down the road, which is pretty smart,
which she
too.
Does anyway, but she still. Does.
So... yeah, this scene where she's, like, you know, trying to get information, and MK, like, clearly kind of wants to give her the information, but is still trying to honor Beth's wishes.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the dynamic here.
Yeah, I did too.
Like, it isn't just, you can't know, it's too much. It's also just like, listen, Beth knew what she was into, and she said, don't do this. I'm right. trusting my friend who's, you know, she's dead, but she knew what she was fucking talking about. Mm-hmm. And she killed herself, so I'm pretty sure she really, really believed that shit.
Yeah.
Which is fucking rough, man. I just want to know! But that's about it. Like, Sarah just tries to get info out of her, and she won't tell her anything. And, Sarah thinks that she's watching her from afar, but then realizes that she's right outside in that car, that shitty old car. And,
puts her mask back on.
Yep.
Drive away.
I love that she puts her mask back on, even though
she looks exactly the same. Oh, yeah.
She's like, I'm not sure you're going to draw
face
less.
Looks like it's my face.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure you're going to draw less attention driving through town with a lamb mask on.
Right.
But okay. So this is when we cut back to Beth coming home, pulling her wig off. She's got blood all over her hands. She's carrying that gun out. She's real shaken up.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes super close to shooting MK. Because she was right up in her kitchen when she gets home.
Right.
Her acting in that moment of being startled and ready to shoot was way too good. Like, I 100% thought she was going to shoot her. I really did. Even though I know that MK's alive, I just figured, well, it wasn't a kill shot. But I thought she was going to shoot her for sure. And Beth pushes her off, goes into the bathroom. MK is trying to talk to her through the door and ask her why she has kind of gone off the grid, because she's checked her phone logs and she hasn't made calls to anybody else either, which Beth is very bothered to hear that she's been checking up on her phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
There is that a hotel room key?
Yeah, she's cutting up a head. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm wondering if she, like, pretended to be, like, a prostitute or something. But why would she have the key? That doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I guess she could be. Do prostitutes, like, get rooms and then ask guys to meet them there? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't either. I can't help with that one.
She cuts that shit up and flushes it and really, like, goes to lengths to, like, clean up herself and the bathroom, like, of all the blood. And so, like, I just can't imagine. And, comes out and tells Mika, it's over. We cannot fight this anymore. And she gives her the gun and her purse and says, you need to drop all this and go back into hiding. Or no, she just gives her the gun. I thought she gave her a purse, but no, she holds on to that. Stay hidden, drink iced tea, play video games, whatever. But we can't do this anymore. And Mika tells her, don't leave me, I need you. And it's really moving. And Beth comes back and, like, gives her a hug.
But yeah, I felt horrible for both of them in this moment. I really did.
Right? Ugh. And she whispers in her ear, watch the others for me. Which she is doing.
She's doing exactly that.
She's carrying out that good work. Bless her. This is just really hard, you know? I hated it. Yeah. So, yeah, that's, you know, most likely the night that she killed herself. That's where, like, where she went was straight to the train station from there.
Yeah.
So, after this revelation, Mika drives away, and Sarah is about to try and chase her. It's too late, though. She goes back in to get her shoes, and here come some creepy EMTs.
And I don't like them.
Oh, man. They are way too predatory, the way that they look at her.
Mm-hmm.
And they're German? Is that what they're speaking?
No, it's Afrikaans. They're from South Africa.
Oh, okay. I never even noticed in the other scene, like, I guess they didn't speak or spoke.
They didn't really talk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In very short sentences, because I didn't notice an accent at all before.
Yeah.
But they think she's MK, and it's not until he feels her mouth and realizes that she has the implant that that's not who they have, and they just leave her alone.
Yeah, they're very dismissive. They're like, ah, it's Sarah fucking Manning. And
they don't even do anything.
No.
I was really floored by that. Like, why wouldn't they take her? I thought they were after her this whole time. I thought that's who was going to the house in Norway
to get her. Well, not the two of them, apparently.
I guess they're working on an independent project.
Yeah. Not a lot of cool. There's no collaboration between different, you know, layers of this organization. Yeah.
But Sarah knows what it means that they, like, feel something and let her go, and goes back to the hideout completely flipped out.
Yeah.
Trying to see into her mouth, demanding that Kira open her mouth, and Kira gets completely freaked out too, because she realizes that Dyad had Kira for a while.
Yeah.
And we don't get a straight answer on that in this episode, but Siobhan definitely does get a flashlight and looks through Sarah's cheek and sees this thing in her cheek moving around. And jumps back and just looks like she's ready to scream. Like she just barely held it in.
Yeah. So when she says, Jesus, Sarah, what is that? And Sarah's like, I don't know.
Oh, God. Her
face. You're supposed to help me out here with this, Mom. Right? Don't freak me out more.
Oh, God. It's such a... Like, you can't just cut it out, I guess. I mean... They cut it out of the other guy, but I don't know how far along it was. Apparently, like, if it's been incubating long enough, it'll just shoot out. But it didn't do that with the guy whose body they found. But no. Was it because they killed him before they tried to cut it out? Was it dead because he died? Because they gassed him? Was that like a preventative measure that they knew that it was going to flip out? And they were like, oh, we can't have that. Maybe that's why that guy was so irritated, was because they didn't even have like the gumption to test it out.
Right.
And see, and just went ahead and killed him real quick beforehand. Which I could see being very irritating.
Just keep saying hmm until it all comes together.
I don't like maggots. Okay? I've said it once and I'll say it again. This is not my favorite. It was bad enough that that one guy had it, but now to know that that potentially all of them, they all were part of Dyad for a little bit. Every single one of them except MK, right? Now even fucking Crystal, who I guess is alive somewhere.
Yeah.
Crystal probably has it. Rachel probably has it. If she didn't, she does now, being with her creepy ass mom.
Yeah. Maggots. Maggots everywhere.
Can you not say it like that? That'd be great. Thank you.
I have to say it exactly like that.
I hate you so much.
I know.
You suck.
I do.
Oh, I'm itchy now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know that feeling. I do feel bad. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. All right. So that's the end of that episode. I had, like, this show drives me nuts with how quick it goes into the next, like, why are you showing me next time, Hans? I know I say this all the time, and everybody's sick of hearing me complain about it, but seriously, why do they do that? It's the worst. But I don't know what to expect. Like, I had said at the beginning of the episode, like, I really figure we're going to go back to Beth again. But if this is the, like, last time that she sees Beth before she kills herself, I guess there's no real reason to go back to Beth unless something else happens before she reaches the train station, which is certainly possible. Like, God knows what else she did that night. But it really felt like that was the period at the end of that sentence.
Yeah.
So, I'm not really sure what to expect here. And I don't have any theories, you know, with a lot of the other stuff, it wasn't even like, I won't say that I was able to have theories, but things like at least in the first two seasons, the story was small enough that I was able to kind of like keep it contained.
Right.
But this is so big now and there are so many people involved, and these two EMTs, I don't know where they fall within all of this.
Right.
Apparently not a part of Dyad exactly, but like kind of. Neolution is it? Okay. So I'm going to say hi to new patrons now. Does that work?
Yeah, that's a good segue. Why not?
All right, new patrons: Gemma Lindley, Joke Slayer 94. That's kind of amazing. That's like one of the more 90s usernames I've ever seen, and not just because it has a 90s number in it. Esk, ESCH. Sarah McDougal, Michelle Gomez, and Becky Foote all became patrons this past week. Welcome to all of you guys. Thank you so much for pledging and being amazing. And we have a lot of patrons-only stuff at this point. Somebody was asking me about that the other day. And they were like, so what kind of patrons-only series do you have? And once I started to list it off, I was like, damn.
A lot.
We have a lot.
Yeah.
Right now, Maggie and I are covering Jessica Jones for patrons. And that's for $5 and up patrons. And then once we're done covering it, it will be opened up to $1 and up. But yeah, if you want it while we're doing it, we are going to be recording on episodes 7, 8, and 9 this week.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
we'll have stuff to talk about.
Yeah. This is a season that I don't know how to feel about.
Yeah. This is going to be a lot of me going, Trish!
Yes.
So, I'm glad we seem to be on the same page about that. But that's a different podcast, and you should listen to it. So you should become a patron, so you should listen to, you can listen to it.
You guys, you should.
You want to listen to me and Natasha bitch about things. Believe me, you do. It's you fun.
And if you want that, you should listen to our Daredevil episodes also, which are for free on iTunes. But yeah, go to patreon.com/unspoiled and pledge whatever you feel comfortable with, whatever rewards you want. I actually finally sent out the postcards today that I like just dragged my feet so bad on. They take such a long time to do because I write them all by hand because I want to be personal about it.
And she loves us all so much.
I do. And I want you all to feel that personal touch of me going, hello. And, but I finally got them out today. And so those of you who have been $10 patrons this past month will be getting those shortly. And or not forever. Did you see that Candace just posted that she got her February one, like this week?
Yeah.
It's been almost a month, solid month. And she lives in the same state as me. That's I can drive to her house in an hour.
I know. You can't drive anywhere in an hour. So.
No!
Yeah.
I think she lives closest to me out of all of my listeners and patrons and co-hosts and everything.
Right.
She's the closest person. I don't understand what the fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway, mail is a miracle, but also a disaster. All right. Is there anything you want to add, madame?
No, I really don't. I think we're good.
All right.
I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying having been able to jump onto this podcast so we can keep it going.
Yeah, me too. It's nice to have this one be steady.
Yes.
No offense, babe. Talking to Owen. He's not here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, has Owen been here this whole time?
I'm just, you know, saying in case he's listening. Just, no, don't take any offense, babe. I love you. But, you know. All right, everybody. Well, make sure to leave a review on iTunes if you've been enjoying the show, because we have not gotten a new one since Maggie and I started covering it together. So I would really like to know what you think. And if you have an old review, maybe you could update it and let us know, or whatever. And other than that, no other homework assignments. We will see you next week with a new episode. Toodaloo, motherfuckers.
Isn't it strange? Feels like I'm looking.
Spoiled Network Podcast.